Welcome to Zichudal Simanim. I'm Rabbi Avram Goldar, and today we're in Sechaz Erevin, Daf Pei Tes. So the three topics we're going to focus on. Number one, the opening mission of the ninth parak introduces a machlokas regarding which areas require making an Erev Chatzeros. Rabbi Meir says, Kol gagos ir rishus achas. All adjoining roofs of the town are one rishus, even though they're owned by different people. Therefore, carrying from one roof to the other is permitted even if the residents below did not join in an Erev. Rashi explains that since ein tashmish and tadir, roofs are not used regularly, ein behem chilok rishus. They're not considered separate domains. This, the Mishnah adds, is provided that one roof is not 10 falchim higher or lower than another roof. The Gemara explains that this is a gezerah mishum tel rishus of rabim, a decree due to a 4x4 elevation that's 10 falchim high, such as a post, which is a rishus yachid, that's located in rishus of rabim. One might come to adjust his load on the post, which is an iser deraisa. Point number two, the chachamim disagree with Rabbi Meir and say, kol echov ve'echod rishus b'knei atzmo. Each roof is a rishus unto itself. Therefore, if the residents below did not join in an erev, then carrying from one roof to the other is forbidden. There's a machlokas Rav and Shmuel regarding carrying on each individual roof. Rav says, ein metaltlin bo el arba amos. We may not carry on a roof except within four amos. Rashi explains that since each roof is entirely open to the other and they do not share an erev, it's considered nifretz b'mlo l'makam ha'aser, entirely open to an area which is forbidden to it. Shmuel says, mutu l'talta b'kulo, is permitted to carry on the entire roof. The Gemara clarifies that while Rav and Shmuel agree that b'mechitzus nikaros, when the walls are visible to a person standing on the roof and looking down, then each person can carry in the entire roof based on the principle of good asik, the wall extending upward. They disagree when the walls are not visible. Rav says we do not apply good asik in such a case, whereas Shmuel says we do. And point number three, continuing in the Mishnah, Rabbi Shimon disagrees with Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim and holds echad gagos v'chatzeros v'echad karpefos. Adjoining roofs, chatzeros, and karpavs, rishus achas hen l'keyom sheshav zilasochan, are one domain in regard to kaling that began Shabbos in one of those areas, but not in regard to kaling that began Shabbos in the house. This means that even if a kli that began Shabbos in the house and was lawfully brought out to an outdoor area, it may not be moved to another outdoor area. This is because the kli retains the status of the rishus in which it began Shabbos. Rashi explains that Rabbi Shimon is the most lenient opinion, in that he holds that all outdoor areas are considered one rishus because ein tashmish and tadir, ein behem chilok rishus. They're not used regularly and therefore are not considered separate domains. So once again, the three points are number one. The opening mission, the ninth parak, introduces a machlokas regarding which areas require making the Erev Chatzeros. Ramir says, Kol gagos ha'ir rishus achas. All adjoining roofs of the town are one rishus, even though they're owned by different people. Therefore, carrying from one roof to the other is permitted even if the residents below did not join in an Erev. Rashi explains that since ein tashmish and tadir, roofs are not used regularly, ein behem chilok rishus. They are not considered separate domains. This, the Mishnah adds, is provided that one roof is not 10 falchim higher or lower than another roof. The Gemara explains that this is a gezer mishum tel b'rishus harabim, a decree due to a 4x4 elevation that is 10 falchim high, such as a post, which is a rishus yachid, that's located in rishus harabim. One might come to adjust his load on the post, which is an iser, the raisa. Point number two, the Chachamim disagree with the Rabbi Meir and say, kol echad ve'echad rishus b'knei atzmo. Each roof is a rishus unto itself. Therefore, if the residents below did not join in an erev, then carrying from one roof to another is forbidden. There's a machlokas Rav and Shmuel regarding carrying on each individual roof. Rav says, ein metaltlin bo el arba amos. We may not carry on a roof except within dalet amos. Rashi explains that since each roof is entirely open to the other and they do not share an erev, it's considered nifretz b'mlo l'makam ha'aser, entirely open to an area which is forbidden to it. Shmuel says, mutu l'talta b'chulo. It's permitted to carry on the entire roof. The Gemara clarifies that while Rav and Shmuel agree that b'mechitzas nikaros, when the walls are visible to a person standing on the roof and looking down, then each person can carry in the entire roof based on the principle of good asik, the wall extending upward. They disagree when the walls are not visible. Rav says we do not apply good asik in such a case, whereas Shmuel says we do. And point number three, continuing in the Mishnah, Rabbi Shimon disagrees with Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim and holds echad gagos v'chatzeros v'echad karpefos, adjoining roofs, chatzeros and karpavs. Rishus achas hem l'keyom sheshav zilasochan are one rishus in regard to kaling that began Shabbos in one of those areas, but not in regard to kaling that began Shabbos in the house. This means that even if a kli that began Shabbos in the house and was lawfully brought out to an outdoor area, it may not be moved to another outdoor area. This is because the kli retains the status of the rishus in which it began Shabbos. Rashi explains that Rabbi Shimon is the most lenient opinion in that he holds that all outdoor areas are considered one rishus because ein tashmish and tadir, ein behem chilok rishus. They're not used regularly and therefore are not considered separate domains. All right, so now we go to a simon for Daf Pei Tes, and the simon is a pot. a pot, and we use a chalim pot, so here goes. The Bachrim who discovered the hidden chalim pot on top of the adjoining roof, but were machmir not to carry even dalad amos in their own roof, were overjoyed when they saw their makel friend pick up the long ladle on the karpuf, run through the chutzir, and up to the roof. Once again, in slow motion. The Bachrim who discovered the hidden chalim pot, that must be run daf, peites. The Bachrim who discovered the hidden chalim pot on top of the adjoining roof, which reminds us, the Rebbe Meir says, Kol gagozei ir rishus achas. All adjoining roofs of the town are one rishus, even though they're owned by different people. Therefore, carrying from one roof to the other one is permitted even if the residents below do not join in an error. Rashi explains that since roofs are not used regularly, they're not considered separate domains. So the Bachrim who discovered the hidden chalim pot on top of the adjoining roof, but were machmir not to carry even dalad amos on their own roof, which reminds us that the Chachamim disagree with Rebbe Meir and say, Kol echad ve'echad rishus b'fnei atzmo, each roof is a domain unto itself. Therefore, if the residents below did not join in an erev, then carrying from one roof to another is forbidden. Now there's a machlokas Rebbe Shmuel regarding carrying on each individual roof, if the residents can carry on their entire roof or just dalad amos. Their machlokas is whether we apply the rule of good asig, of extending walls upwards, when the walls are not visible to the person standing on the roof. So the Bachrim who discovered the hidden chalim pot on top of the adjoining roof, but were machmir not to carry even dalad amos on their own roof, were overjoyed when they saw their makel friend pick up the long ladle on the karpuf, run through the chutzir, and up to the roof. Which reminds us that Rabbi Shimon disagrees with Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim, and is the most lenient. He holds echad gagos v'chatzeros v'echad karpefos. Adjoining roofs, chatzeros, and karpuffs are one rishus in regard to kelim that began Shabbos in one of those areas because they're not used regularly, and therefore they're not considered separate domains. So once again, the Bachrim who discovered the hidden chalim pot on top of the adjoining roof, but were machmir not to carry even dalad amos on their own roof, were overjoyed when they saw their makel friend pick up the long ladle on the karpuf, run to the chutzir, and up to the roof. All right, so now we go to our four blot back chazara. Daf pehe. So the sim for daf pehe is a peh, a mouth. We use a dentist. So here goes. The neighborhood dentist, that must mean we're on daf pehe. The neighborhood dentist who saw patients in a path between two walled chatzeros that contained a pit of water, which reminds us, reviewed a set in the name of Shmuel, Bor Sheben Shtei Chatzeros Mufleges Mekosel Zerba, Mekosel Zerba. Regarding a water pit between two chatzeros, if the edge of the pit is four tefachim away from each wall, Zemotzi Ziz Koshut Memale, Vezemotzi Ziz Koshut Memale, each chatzer can put out a slat of any size from its wall, and then fill their pails with water. Reviewer himself, however, holds Afil Kanya, even something less notable than a slat, like a reed, can be used. Rashi explains that since the pit is in a path that is separated from both chatzeros by a wall, giving them no direct access to it, it doesn't require an eruv. Putting out a slat or reed to permit drawing water from it on Shabbos is to serve as a reminder that access to a jointly owned area is usually only permitted with an eruv. Abai said the Rav Yosef Rav would not require any reminder, for Rav said, Ein Adam Oso al Chavero derech Avir. A person cannot restrict his fellow in an area only used by him by way of air. In this case, the residents do not have access to the pit by foot, but must draw the water by way of throwing. So the neighborhood dentist who saw patients in a path between two walled chetzeros that contained a pit of water was invited by the residents of the chetzer as they were walking through the gatehouse, which reminds us. The next Mishnah states, Anosin esei ruva beishar aksadru merpesas eino erev. If one places his erev in a gatehouse, a portico, or a gallery, it's not a valid erev. V'hadar sham eino osro lav. And one who lives in one of these does not restrict the other residents in the chetzer from caring. And Eruvi Chatzeros must be deposited in one of the dwellings of the Chatzer, symbolizing the designation of that house as the common dwelling of all residents in the Chatzer. The Mir explains that the portico and the gallery are not considered dwellings because they don't have walls, and that the gatehouse is not considered a dwelling since residents of the Chatzer are constantly passing through it. Rashi explains that someone living in any of the above places doesn't restrict use of the Chatzer and does not need to contribute to the Erev. So the neighborhood dentist who saw patients in a path between two walled chatzeros that contained a pit of water was invited by the residents of the chatzer as they were walking through the gatehouse to join them for a late Erev Shabbos get-together meal. Which reminds us, Rabbi Yudah said in the name of Shmuel, B'nei Chabur Sheyim Musumin, a group of neighbors who were eating a meal before Shabbos began, which Rashi clarifies to mean all of the neighbors of a chatzer or a mavui, V'kidesh Alein Hayom, and Shabbos came while they were sitting there, without having joined in an Erev Shitav, Pashal Shulchan Somchin Alein Mishum Erev. They may rely on the bread that's on the table for an Erev. And others say that they may rely on it for a Shitav. Tosos on Daf Ayin Gimel Amud Beis explains that since the host served them bread to eat, it's as though it's theirs and it's therefore a valid contribution to the Erev. Rabbi said there's no dispute between these two rulings. One was referring to when they were eating in the house and the other one was referring to they were eating in the Chatzer. Daf Pei Vav. So the Simmer Daf Pei Vav is Polis. Polis, here goes. The police, that must mean Run Duff, Pevav. The police were called in to resolve a domestic dispute between the wealthy man, who usually got respect, which reminds the Gemara relates Rebbe Mekabed Asherim, Rebbe Kiva Mekabed Asherim. Both Rebbe and Rebbe Kiva would show respect to wealthy people. As Rabbi Barmari expounded from the verse, Yeshav Ol Lifnei Elokim, Chesed Ve'emes, Manyin Saruhu, may he, referring to a king, sit forever before Hashem, appoint kindness and truth that they preserve him. Amosai Yeshav Ol Lifnei Elokim, when is the world properly settled before Hashem? When there are kindness and ample provisions for the poor, this preserves the world. Rashi explains that the word man means provisions. Since the rich provide for the poor and sustain the world, they deserve kavod. So the police were called in to resolve a domestic dispute between the wealthy man, who usually got respect, and his daughter-in-law, whose house he was staying in for Shabbos, which reminds us. The next Mishnah states, Haminiach beis v'halach lishbos be'ir acheres, one who left his house and went to spend Shabbos in another town. Rabbi Meir says whether he's a Nachri that did not rent out his rights or a Jew who didn't join in the Erev, he restricts use of the chatzer. Rashi explains that Rabbi Meir holds dir b'lo balim shma dira. A residence without owners present on Shabbos is considered residence. Rabbi Yudah says he does not restrict since he holds dir b'lo balim lo shma dira. Rabbi Yossi holds that a Nachri does restrict and a Jew doesn't. Rashi explains that Rabbi Yossi holds that Rabbi Yehuda except that there is concern that the Nachri will return on Shabbos. It's unlikely, however, that a Jew will return on Shabbos. And Rabbi Shimon says that even if the Jew went to spend Shabbos with his daughter in the same town, he is unlikely to return because Shekvar Hisil Malibo. He's already dismissed returning from his mind. Rav said that the Lach is like Rabbi Shimon when he visits his daughter, but not for one who visits his son. Rashi explains that he has in mind that he might need to return home if he gets into a fight with his daughter-in-law. A fight with the son-in-law, however, can be endured. So the police were called in to resolve a domestic dispute between the wealthy man, who usually got respect, and his daughter-in-law, whose house he was staying in for Shabbos, over the question whether a wall passing over a cistern legally divides the water between them. Which reminds us, in the next mission regarding Borsh ben Shtei Chatzeros, a cistern between two Chatzeros, partially in one and partially in the other, Rabbi Yudah says, Lo tehi mechitza gadola min hakoso shebeneihem. A mechitza should not be more affected than the wall which is already between the Chatzeros. Rashi explains that Rabbi Yudah holds that a wall passing over the cistern is sufficient to legally divide the water, even if it doesn't enter the cistern's cavity. Rabbi Bar Chana said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan that Rabbi Yehuda's ruling is in accordance with the opinion of Rabbi Yossi, who holds Mechitza Tuliyah Materes Afil B'Yabasha. A suspended partition permits carrying over dry land, such as in the case of a sukkah wall, that is woven from the top that is 3 tefachim from the ground, where Rabbi Yossi holds it extends downwards and is valid. The Gemara rejects this suggestion, pointing out that perhaps Rabbi Yehuda would only apply the principle to a Drabbanan, such as Erevin, but not to a deraisa, such as a sukkah. And perhaps Rabbi Yossi would only apply it to a sukkah, which is an Isra Aseh, but not to a matter of Shabbos, which is an Isra Skila. Daf Pei Zayin. So the Simmer Daf Pei Zayin is gold, but I did get some pushback. Some people really disliked what we used in Shabbos, which was golden Pez candy dispensers. So if you want, you could just change it to the man panning for cold Pez candy dispensers to make it more consistent with what we did in Shabbos, but I'm going to stick with gold here. Here goes. The man panning for gold, that must mean one Daf Pei Zayin. The man panning for gold who cut a square 4x4 tefach hole in the balcony to draw water, which reminds us. It was learned in a brisa that Rabbi Hananya ben Akavia says, Gezusra sheish ba arba amos or arba amos, a balcony which is 4x4 amos in size and extends over water, chokak ba arba or ba umamale. One cuts a square hole of 4 tefachim by 4 tefachim in the center of it, and he may then draw water through this opening. Rashi explains that the solid segments that remain on each side of the hole are viewed conceptually as having been bent down, forming a 10 tefach high enclosure below the hole. These partitions are then projected downwards to enclose the surface of the water using the principle of good achis. Rabbi suggested that Rabbi Hananya and Rabbi Yehuda held identical things, since Rabbi Yehuda also held good achis works, such as in the case of a wall over the cistern. Abai said that this is not necessarily so. Perhaps Rabbi Yehuda holds good achis works to extend walls downward, but would not go as far to say that one may conceptually bend the segments of the balcony to form suspended partitions. And perhaps Rabbi Hananya was leaning only with regards to the Sea of Tiberias, because it has high banks, cities, and karpovs which surround it, but good achis would not work with other bodies of water. So the man panning for gold who cut a square 4x4 tefach hole in his balcony to draw water installed mechitzas at either end of the water canal passing through his chatzer, which reminds us. The next Mishnah states, Amasam mayim shi overes b'chatzer. If a water canal passes through a chatzer, one may not draw water from it on Shabbos unless they erected a mechitza 10 tefachim high within the canal at its entrance to the chatzer and at its exit from it. Rashi explains that although a suspended mechitza is valid over water, it must be evident that the partition was erected for the water. Therefore, the water's mechitza must be within the banks of the canal and the walls of the chatzar that pass over the canal do not permit it. Rabbi Yehuda says, Kosel shal gaba tido mishumachitza. The chatzar wall which passes over the canal at each end may be considered a partition. So the man panning for gold who cut a square 4x4 tefachon on his balcony to draw water installed mechitzas at either end of the water canal, passing through his chatzar, while chomping on fruit he stored in beanstalks, wet with dew. Which reminds us, a brice has brought that teaches three lenient rulings issued by Hananya ben Akavya for the people of Tveria. The first was regarding drawing water from a balcony on Shabbos via the conceptual bending of walls we mentioned before. The second one was Tomnim ba'atza. He permitted them to store fruit in beanstalks with dew. He held that the people of Tveria would collect the extra stalks from the crop early in the morning so they wouldn't miss work later in the day, not because they were interested in the stalks being wet with dew. Therefore, the dew is not makshu or kabutuma, and the fruit can be stored in these wet stalks without becoming susceptible to tumah. Daf Peches. So the Zimmer Daf Peches is a pach, a garbage can. So here goes. The person who improperly poured his sewage from his garbage can, that must mean we're on Daf Peches. The person who improperly poured his sewage from his garbage can through his balcony into the water below, which reminds us, regarding permitting drawing water from a balcony with hanging mechitzos, Rabbi Baruch Huna said, Oshanu el lemalos, aval lishpoch aser. They only taught that drawing water is permitted, but pouring out sewage through a hole is prohibited. Rashi explains that the flowing river will take the sewage beyond mechitzas of the balcony. Rav Shizviak challenges ruling and asks, what's the difference between this case and the case of a cesspool and a chatzar into which water may be poured even when it is full and will run off into a neighboring Rishus Rabim? The Gemara answered that Hanitame, these waters of the cesspool cease, meaning they generally become absorbed in the ground before flowing into the Rishus Rabim. Rashi explains that even if the sewage does overflow and run out of the chatzar, it was the person's intention that they be absorbed in their place, and the transfer to Rishus Rabim is unintended. However, these waters from the balcony do not cease, meaning they are never absorbed in their place. Therefore, the person knows that they will certainly flow beyond the mechitzos. The Gemara presents another version of this discussion. So the person who improperly poured his sewage from his garbage can through his balcony into the water below accidentally dumped it on a thief using his neighbor's ruin. Which reminds us, Rabbi said in the Nimr Bechia, and Rav Yosef said in the Nimr Voshia, Yesh Gazal B'Shabbos. There is figuratively theft of another person's property on Shabbos. V'churva machzir l'balim, and a ruin restores possession to its owner on Shabbos. This refers to a case where someone makes use of a neighbor's ruined property that is next to his property during the week without the owner's express consent. Rashi explains that his unauthorized use of the ruin does not have any bearing on his Arab status. The dominion over the churva is forcibly returned to its owner, requiring an Arab. The thief, referring to the neighbor, may not carry there without joining in an Arab with the owner. So the person who improperly poured his sewage from his garbage can through his balcony into the water below accidentally dumped it on a thief using his neighbor's ruin, who also got splashed by another neighbor pouring his water out with great intensity into a covered drainage pipe. Which reminds us, the next Mishnah stater, Rabbi Yezim Yaakov says, Biv shu kamur arba amos Rishus Rabim. If a drainage conduit from a chatzar through the Rishus Rabim is covered for its first four amos in the Rishus Rabim, people may pour wastewater into it on Shabbos. Rashi explains that the covered portion must be 4x4 amos in area which is capable of absorbing 2 saw of water that a person uses daily. Therefore, the water poured into it on Shabbos will generally be absorbed before it reaches the Rishus Rabim. Even if the water does reach Rishus Rabim, it is considered an unintended transfer, and he has not transgressed the Raisa. The Chachamim hold that one may not pour directly into conduit, even if it's very long, since it exits with some intensity. Rashi explains that he might be accused of intending to get rid of it from his chatzar. They do permit pouring it onto the roof and letting the water descend into the conduit, where the water will not leave with such intensity. The Gemara notes that the Chachamim do not reflect the opinion of Hananya, who holds that one may not pour onto a roof that is even 100 amos long, because a roof is not constructed to absorb, but rather to cause the water to flow away from the house. Therefore, he considers it the same as pouring it directly into the conduit. All right, now it's time to conclude the pop quiz of 10 questions plus 3 bonus questions from the Sechus, Brachas, and Shabbos. Number 1, which daf do we have a case where a ledge was protruding from a 19 tefach wall? That was on daf? Pei Dalet. Good. Number 2, which daf do we learn that the Chachamim hold that each roof is considered a reshus b'fnei atzma and the residents are required to make a joint erev in order to carry between them? That's on daf? Pei Tes. Good. Number 3, which daf do we learn the different measures for a saw? That's on daf? Pei Gimel. Good. Number 4. Which daf d'gun Rabbi Chananya ben Akavya holds that one can cut out a 4x4 tefach hole in a balcony over water and conceptually bend the walls of the balcony to create mechitzos to draw water? That's on daf? Pei Zayin. Good. Number 5. Which daf d'gun Rabbi Yehuda holds that a wall over a cistern legally divides the waters? That's on daf? Pei Vav. Good. Number 6. which Taftu and Rabbi Shimna holds, that gagos, chatzeros, and karfefos are considered one reshus, since their use is irregular, and one is permitted to carry between them. That's on Duff. Pei test. Good number seven. Which Taftu we have a machlokes Tanakam Rabbi Yehuda regarding what is required to draw water from a water canal passing through a chatzer. That's on Duff. Pei zayin. Good number eight. Which Taftu we have a machlokes of someone who goes away for Shabbos without participating in the erev restricts the residents of the chatzer from carrying. That's on Duff. Pei vav. Good number nine. Which Taftu we have a machlokes whether one may pour water into a drainage conduit from a chatzer that's covered for its first four amos in Rishus Rabbin. That's on Duff. Peches. Good. And number 10, which Taftu and the Rebbe Meir holds that adjoining roofs are considered one reshus and do not require residents to make a joint erev. That's on Duff. Peches. Good. Now we go to the three bonus questions. Number one, which Taftu we discuss moving a corpse out of the sun and the machlokes regarding tiltul min hatzad. That's on Duff. Mem Gimel and Shabbos. Good. Number two, which Taftu we discuss making a bracha on ilanos, on trees. That's on Duff. Mem Gimel and Brachas. Good. Number two. Which Taftu we discuss making a bracha on ilanos, on trees. That's on Duff. Mem Gimel and Brachas. Good. And number three. Which Taftu we learn that earthenware is not makabel tumas midras. That's on Duff. Pei Daled and Shabbos. Excellent. All right. That concludes our pop quiz. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldman Zichu wishing you a great day and great learning.